Good morning. I'm going to grab a water. Excuse me. Kind of doing some double duty today, so you get an extra helping of me today. So I understand that, you know, Wednesday's message was a little extensive. There was a lot to unpack. Kind of went a little longer than I wanted, but tonight, as I've been already coached by Brother Grant, that I'm one of the basketball recruitees, I will make tonight a little bit more efficient. This is kind of a special day, special moment for me, because of all the times that I've been up here, it's been as a fill-in due to the previous pastor being away. So today's a little different with my pastor staring at me today. So this will be the first time that I've brought the word with our pastor being here. So, and before I give you the name of the title, something that was said this morning, the beginning part of this message might be out of season. It might not be what we want to hear, but I pray that it's what we all need to hear. So, title for tonight's message is Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
This will try and be the answer to the question that I left us off on Wednesday, which was how to refocus on Him. If you guys will turn to Hosea chapter 14, verse 4, please stand. We will read verses 4 through 7. Hosea 14, 4 through 7. Hosea 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today, humbled as always, appreciative of the faith that the people of God have in me to stand up here and bring your word to them. I pray that you will give me the word, you will fill me with the Spirit, and allow me to say what you would like to convey. And as always, I will pray in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, enough positivity till the end. We have a situation to address. And I debated between using the word problem and situation. And I chose situation. It reminded me, Miss Sarah and I went on a cruise when we made a stop in Jamaica. And one of the tour guides, we were on a tour bus ride. She said, here in Jamaica, we don't have any problems. We just have what she said, situations. So I went with the word situation. I feel like it's more appropriate for this because the word problem obviously has a negative tone, but the word situation is kind of neutral and it's something that can be fixed. I didn't refer to the situation as this on Wednesday, but I wanted to talk about it today. Let's talk about a backslider. 1828 Webster's Dictionary describes backslider as a noun, one who falls from the faith and practice of religion, one who neglects his vows of obedience and falls into sin. As I've been thinking about the word backslider, I think about, my mind just naturally went to, I wonder how many people that are saved actually do backslide. And although I didn't have the answer, I did go to the book that did have the answer. So you guys don't have to turn here, but I'm turning to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So if we look at that scripture, it seems the scripture says 90% will backslide. I wanted to address my family for a little bit because I feel like it could be, as of right now, as high as 50%. My daughter Emma, the one who got me to walk through these doors, ran so far and so fast away from God that she had to go 2,100 miles away to the state of Pennsylvania running from God. My son Nathan, when he came here, was on fire for the Lord. He came here, he was prepared. And if I feel like the pastor has mentioned about a young man that he knew that was on fire, and then all of a sudden he's like, You're supposed to be a pastor, right? He's like, yeah. Are you going to be? No. My son Nathan's now not a fan of church. And including tonight, Luke had asked him, said, Hey, Dad's preaching. Can you come tonight? He said, yeah, I'll be there. And as we see, he's not. In both instances, I have failed. And I will explain that later, what that means. Metaphorically, the backsliding state is described as serving two masters, forsaking the Lord, going our own way, forgetting God, a dead branch. The list goes on and on and on. Backslider is a Christian who gets out of touch with the Lord. It's been referred to as a relapse. Drug and alcohol patient, the word relapse. I was sober for 30 days. Before I took that first drink. I had been clean for 3 years. Amen. And then I popped that pill. I've had a lot of experience with drug addicts. Emma and Stormy's biological mother was a functioning drug addict. Every day before I was allowed to leave for work, she had to have 5 hydrocodone, 2 packs of cigarettes, and 2 Pepsis, 2 cans of Pepsis before I could leave the building. Once we decided that she needed to get clean, I had to drive her 40 miles one way every day to the methadone clinic so that she could get her life right and get clean. And according to what I've been told in talking to Emma, she is clean today. So I'm blessed for that Emma is at least she's safe there and with somebody who is that is clean. Backslider is unfaithful. They don't come to church like they should. They don't witness like they should. So that means that they're unfruitful. They're not bearing the fruit. They're not spreading the word. It's the opposite of being a Christian. This obviously displeases God. It took him all this time to get us to the place of salvation, to become one of his children. He doesn't want to see us go back to living in the world and living in sin. Aren't we supposed to be our brother's keeper? It says that some people can use that the negative way as being dismissive. Do you know what your insert name here, mom, dad, son, brother, you know what they're doing? Once you become a backslider, you don't really care. You're like, it is what it is. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, at the end of the verse, Cain says, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He had already given up because he had known what he had done. So just keep that in mind. People need to be built up. I feel like if you're constantly tore down, you get to that point where you start to believe that. Luke and I were at the gym. I don't know, this has been a couple months ago. And we were talking about tattoos for some reason. And the guy overheard us, and he looked at Luke and said, what first tattoo you're going to get? And it was one of them proud moments when Luke said, I'm not going to get a tattoo. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a pastor. And he's like, oh, you're going to be a pastor. And then he gave him some words of encouragement. Even though this guy didn't know us, he was helping, you know, building Luke up for his faith. We are supposed to bear one another's burdens. Aren't we supposed to exhort one another daily? This doesn't happen when one backslides. If we stop working or we give up, God will allow you and or them to go off track. It kind of reminds me of the little racetracks with the little electric cars, and you would run it as fast as you can, and because it's just going so fast, and it would just fly off the track. When you're not pacing yourself and you're not disciplined, you will go off track. Backsliding always begins in your heart, long before the outward manifestation. So once people start to see it, it's already grown here, and it's going to be hard to turn back. I'm going to go to Galatians 5. Verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Once it's known that we can see it, that you're backsliding, it's already been working for a long time, and you're on a slippery slope heading to disaster and destruction. I'm going to give a few characteristics of a backslider, starting with one I've already talked about, church attendance. You see people that are here, every day the doors are open, and then upon occasion, all of a sudden, they're missing Wednesday night, and then they're missing Sunday, the main service, then they're missing Sunday night. And as I talked about on Wednesday, and then was reinforced to me this morning, the devil will give you 47 reasons not to wake up, 47 excuses not to go to church. Amen. But God gives you one reason to come. Will that one reason be able to defeat the 47 reasons? Characteristics of a backslider, how about prayer? Some people, you know, I'm very blessed that, you know, I come to the 8 o'clock prayer meeting. It helps get my morning started off right. Every Saturday night I work. I don't get home till after 2 a.m. I get to bed around 2:30. That alarm goes off at 7:20. And I'm not going to lie, there's been times where my brain has said, push the button, go back to sleep. But once again, how can I sit here and tell you guys 47 reasons, one reason, if I'm going to succumb to those 47 reasons? So I'm there every morning. Your Bible reading. I mentioned on Wednesday, I challenged you guys, get my phone number. If you want, we will talk every day about whatever chapter I'm going through. I guess you guys will have to come with me on my journey. But I will hold you accountable. I will text you, hey, where's my message? One person came to me on Wednesday, and since then, we've been going through the book of Matthew. So now I have two people in this room that have challenged me to be faithful in my Bible reading. Amen. Soul winning. This is something I'm not very good at. I've not had a lot of experience with it, but it is something that I'm willing to be taught, because I stand up here and I tell you, don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be judged for who you are. So if the time, you know, allows, I would like to learn how to be a good soul winner. Just straight worldliness. This world has all the distractions for you. It's filled with pleasures and desires, and it's filled with things that will fill your mind with everything except for God. And then I wrote on here, total sin. Basically, when you get to silence that voice in your head, when God's trying to speak to you and you're too busy or you just don't want to hear it. How about the me, me, me? It's all about me. What about me? Give it to me. I want it. Self-centered. You know, arrogant, cocky, those types of things. I'm good. I don't need God. I got this world figured out. I know what I'm doing. I don't need anybody else. Self-pity. Remember why me from Wednesday? Why me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? I put on here P.S. Instead of me, 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 it should be him, him, him. Amen. Hypocrisy. At church camp last year, the teens and I got to learn about the term playing church. I'd never heard that term before. I guess I'd always felt like I'm coming through these doors the same person I'm leaving these doors. But I would challenge you guys, is your testimony out there for a stranger going to be the same testimony that you give people in here? It's easy to play church. You can wear the clothes. You can smile. You can be polite. But if somebody runs into you on the road, how is that testimony going to be? Is it going to be the same smiling, happy, good morning person that you get here? Or is it going to be something different? You should know there is no position of grace from which you cannot fall. Luke 22, verse 61, the end of the verse, it says, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Verse 62 continues on, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Peter denied Jesus. What more can we see from that? Peter was one of the most devout disciples that Jesus had, but yet when the time came, he denied him. Silence is acceptance. Remember earlier when I said I failed? This is one of the many things that I have failed at as a Christian and even in my life before a Christian. I bring up my son Nathan as well. When he started to disagree with the philosophies of church and of the Bible and of God, I chose to be silent. I chose not to pick that fight. I chose to keep what I thought was the peace in the house. And now, you know, I can honestly say that I regret that decision. I should not have rested on trying to keep peace in the household. I should have, as the pastor said, I should have kept trying to guide him in the way. And then maybe he would be sitting here. Pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." As I said earlier, I know everything. I'm 18 years old going on 75. I know everything. I've got my life figured out. I know where I'm going to be at 20, 21, 25, 40. I don't need God. Even in my own house, I get ridiculed for the fact that I tithe. Once again, as I said, I have failed again. Remember inadequacy? I did nothing to try and prevent that. And that's something I'm learning now, and I'm trying to understand how I should address that. So what happens when you backslide? Let's review from Wednesday night with some scripture. And I'm going through a lot of scripture here as I turn to it. You guys don't have to turn to it. If you're writing it down, get your fingers ready. How about sickness and death? I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 11. Verses 28 through 32. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Unanswered prayer, Isaiah 59. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That's such a powerful verse. I'm going to read it again. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. What a state your world has to be in when God won't listen to you. How far away from him do you have to be to the point that he will not hear you? Loss of victory. We're going to Joshua chapter 7. Verses 11 and 12. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. What about the loss of God's security or protection and his presence? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I think about here once again, why me? Why me? I thought you had me safe and secure. Why me? How about the loss of personal relationship with God? 1 John 1, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Maybe we need to look ourselves in the mirror and ask, are we lying to ourselves? How about the loss of life? We're going to 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13, verses 20 through 26. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way. And the lion standed by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. I'm not going to lie, that makes me pause and think. I can be disobedient to God, and then I can lose my life. I had never read that before, and when I read it, I probably read it 10 or 15 times. Just, I wanted to understand the magnitude of it. So just think about that. And lastly, how about punishment for those who make others backslide? Going to Proverbs 28:10. Proverbs 28:10 says, Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things and possessions. I've always heard this phrase, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your true self, regardless of what you try to portray. The people you choose to hang out with, which we hear a lot about this at youth camp, and I've dwelt a lot with the teens about this, choose your friends wisely, because more than anybody in this world, unfortunately, they're going to be the ones that are going to lead you astray. And if they're not, then most likely you're the one leading them astray. I know I've went through lots of scripture. I'm just trying to reinforce that backsliding is real. And it does happen. This is not just a phrase that we see in the Bible, but this is real. I've experienced it in my own family. There are repercussions for your actions. So we've covered backsliding. We've covered the consequences. Now let's shift to how to remedy the situation. Remember, I did say positive. So we're going to end on positive. Back to our text, Hosea 14. This time I'm going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 9. Brother Grant, am I doing good on time? I'm good. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, Ashur shall not save us. We should not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him, and he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. This whole chapter is exactly what to do. And yes, I know it's kind of anticlimactic, but it's exactly that simple. Verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. It's that simple. Return unto the Lord thy God. People try to tend to make it out harder than it is. What is it that they say no problem can be solved until step one, until you admit that there's a problem? Can you admit today that maybe you have left God and you want him back? This is something you have to do yourself. This isn't an intervention. I can't do it. The pastor can't do it. God can do it, and he will work in you to get it done. Amen. Step one is where most people fail. Why? Because they love this world. They love the fun that they get to have. They love the distraction. As this society becomes a more microwave society, your brains get stimulated more often. Hence why some of these social medias, TikTok, most of them are 17-second snippets because that's all the attention you want to give it. And then, I need to move to something else and else. And it's a never-ending line that you could live your whole life looking at. If you are a backslider, what is your problem? Your problem is you have forgotten him. Step two is verse two. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Can we turn to the Lord? Can we ask forgiveness? Can we simply apologize for our transgressions? Can we simply say, I'm sorry, God, that I've forgotten you? I look at backsliding as a crime against God. Thankfully, we have a forgiving God that can forgive us if we just admit our crime. Verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. If you are a born-again Christian, God has shown you the peace, the joy, the happiness that comes with it. He doesn't want you to go back to this world, because all it leads to is despair and destruction. Be different. Don't be afraid to be different. Now, I brought my phone up here because I want to read a text exchange between my father and I on Friday. Friday at 9:07 a.m., my father sent me a message. He said, when people feel the need and correct you when you say good morning, how do you respond? I explained to them that it is a conversation starter. I'm seeing if they are paying attention. I use the restaurant analogy for servers based on what type of service I will get. He tells me, I just say morning. I'm tired of the negative people saying what's good about it. I respond, it's the first time I've seen you today, so morning. I told him, I said, that's the devil trying to discourage you. Brush it off and don't change you. And then I remember the sermon, don't be afraid to be different. My father said, I think I've spent my whole life living with the devil. I'm trying to find me and make my way back to the person who I really am. He said, you remember the guy that kicks down doors? If you want to know that story, ask me. Then you can help me dealing with turning the other cheek expectations. He says, thank you, love you, talk soon. I sent love you too. So he listened to the message on Thursday of me saying, don't allow people to get you discouraged. Don't allow people to run your world. And then he sent me the message basically saying that he's allowing the people of this world to change who he is. He doesn't even want to say good morning because of what he gets back. Us as Christians should not be worried about that. We're going to get negativity, I promise. Because once we walk out these doors, we are by far the minority in this world. So you will be different. The goal is, can you stand proud and be different? Or will you shun away and be part of the herd? Choose to be with him. Don't change to satisfy the world. God wants a relationship with you. Will you follow him or choose to follow them? The decision only you can make is now on you. How will you respond? I ask once again, how will you respond? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today humble as I always am, appreciative that you have given me the words to say, that these people of you can apply these to their lives. I pray that we can take this home and we can apply this to our lives. I will always pray that you give me the courage to be not a closet Christian, but to be different, be the light in this world. Being different means being the light. Or are we going to be covered in darkness? In your precious name, Lord, I will always pray. If you guys will stand, the invitation will play. If you need to come do business with God, now's your time. I challenge you. Are you ready to come back to him?